prepare our hearts and minds to encounter the Savior this day. Good morning.
Good morning.
Bert, what a beautiful way to begin our worship service this morning. Thank you for beginning and setting the environment for our time of worship this day. It's good to gather in the Lord's house. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It is good to gather here. We look forward to how the Spirit is going to move in worship this morning. Thank you for joining us for worship this beautiful Sunday morning. On a day like this, it may be tempting to stay outside knowing that the heat's going to get up to 95 this afternoon and the heat index is going to be at 105, but amen, it's good to be inside in air conditioning, right? And I pray that you all stay cool and dry the next couple days, and you'll be in my prayers during that time, but it is good to gather in the Lord's house this morning. For those that are joining us by Facebook Live this morning, thank you for joining us, and encourage you to go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org and pull up our bulletin there. Use that as a resource for this day and for the ministries to come in the life of our church. Of course, we had a great morning of prayer this morning at 9:20, followed by Sunday school at 9:45. That takes place every Sunday, so everybody is encouraged to come out and join us for those times every Sunday morning. I do want to remind our ministry teams that this afternoon at 4 o'clock, we do have our church council meeting that will meet upstairs in the Truth Seekers classroom, so please come out at 4 o'clock this afternoon, ministry teams. Make sure you have somebody representing your team this afternoon at that meeting. We have lots of things coming up this week as well. Make sure you look in your bulletin at all of those things, an activity for the children on Tuesday morning. Wednesday, you can join this lovely group up here by coming to choir practice on Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Anybody's welcome to come for that time. And of course, Thursday is our online Bible study as we continue our study of the book of Hebrews on Facebook Live at 6:30 p.m. And then, just a reminder about next Sunday. Next Sunday morning, we want you to come with your family and friends. It will be a special worship service as we honor fathers for Father's Day. So I encourage you to come. Invite all your family and friends to come for our morning worship service. It will be a special Sunday. We recognize the men who've had an impact in our lives. Also, next Sunday night will be the beginning of Vacation Bible School. We are partnering with Elon Community Church, and Gay went over the details last week, but I do want to say, do your part. You may not be volunteering to help with Vacation Bible School, but the way that you can help is by spreading the word. So invite your children, invite your grandchildren, invite your nieces and your nephews, your neighborhood children, anybody that you see that falls in that category range of children, invite them to Vacation Bible School. It all starts next Sunday at 5 p.m. It'll be hosted by Elon Community Church. And then the schedule's in your bulletin this morning, so you'll see what time everything is. But I encourage you to spread the word about Vacation Bible School this summer. Also in your bulletin are our mission and gatherings for the month of June and July. So when you go to the grocery store this week, when you're trying to stay cool, staying in those air conditioning in the grocery store, pick up a few things. Pick up some non-perishable items for the Salvation Army Food Bank. The items needed are listed in your bulletin. And also pick up some snack items for Camp Greenleaves. Camp Greenleaves will be in our prayers because they will be out in the heat at the camp, and it's starting soon. So make sure you pick up some snack items and drop them off in the bins at the end of the hallway or upstairs in the fellowship hall in the coming days and weeks. We are gathered here today to worship. We're gathered here to celebrate the one who is the foundation for life, our solid rock, Jesus the Christ. Let us stand and sing this morning as we praise him and worship this day.
Our opening hymn is "The Solid Rock." Was seated.
This morning our opening scripture reading comes from Romans chapter 5, reading verses 1 through 5 this morning. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. It is that hope that has driven us to this church this day. It is that hope that drives us each and every day as we seek to follow him. Let us go to the Lord in prayer and thank him for the hope he gives us daily. We thank you, O Lord, for giving us love, peace, and hope through your Son, Jesus Christ, for offering us the key to all spiritual knowledge through your Holy Spirit. To those who are in the midst of life's problems right now, Father, grant your wisdom and insight from above. To those who are burdened with anxiety and fear right now, offer your wise assurance in their time of need. To those facing decisions about family or career, bless them with your wisdom on high. To those entering a new chapter in their lives, Father, transitioning grades in school, taking new jobs, finding a place to live, entering retirement, or just seeking wisdom in the next phase of life, guide them on the proper path and bless them with a sense of peace that is rooted in hope. This we pray in the name and wisdom of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is "It Is Well." Let's stand and sing all four verses.
Thank you.
be seated. I tell you, you don't realize how much the choir makes a difference behind you until they walk away and you're up here all by yourself. Oh my gosh, I was like, oh, what's happening? What's happening? And then I saw them coming down. I was like, oh my goodness, they add so much, and I appreciate y'all being up here, choir members. Well, that's not why I stopped to talk to y'all. On June the 28th, which is a Tuesday, the senior adults will be taking a trip to the North Carolina Dairy in Raleigh, which is called the Howling Cow, I think. Isn't that right, Liz? And Liz was the one that put me on to this trip and said it's a wonderful trip. We will tour the dairy, and we will have ice cream afterwards. Julia's over there doing thumbs up. So mark your calendar for June the 28th, and we'll leave around 8:30 that morning, and our tour starts at 10 or 10:30. It's somewhere in the 10, 10:30 area, and the cost is $10, and that's to pay for the tour and the ice cream that we'll have. And then we're going to an Italian restaurant that Lisa told me about for lunch that afternoon after the tour. So mark your calendars, June the 28th at 8:30. And there's a sign-up list that looks like this. In the Sunday school classrooms, in the foyer here, and in the communication area. So we'd love for anybody and everybody to come and go with us. And you don't have to be 70 and above. You can be 50 and above or 20 and above. Any age is welcome to go. Looking forward to it. And now I'd like to call on Paula Harrison, and she'll bring our prayer for offertory.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, please be with us as we go about our activities today. Bless this offering that is being given. Help us to find ways to communicate with all of our community and to show your love to everyone. Be with our activities during the following week, and let us all be a witness for you in all that we say and do. Amen.
Got a roof over my head. I've got a warm place to sleep. Some nights I lie awake counting gifts instead of counting sheep. I've got a heart that can hold love. I've got a mind that can think. There may be times when I lose the light and let my spirit sink, but I can't stay depressed when I remember how I'm blessed. Grateful, grateful, truly grateful I am. Grateful, grateful, truly blessed and duly grateful. In a city of strangers, got a family of friends. No matter what rocks and brambles fill the way, I know that they will stay until the end. I feel a hand holding my hand. not a hand you can see. But on the road to the promised land, this hand will shepherd me through delight and despair. Holding tight and always there. Grateful, grateful, truly grateful I am. Grateful, grateful, truly blessed and duly grateful. It's not that I don't want a lot or hope for more or dream of more, but giving thanks for what I've got makes me so much happier than keeping score. In a world that can bring pain, I will still take each chance, for I believe that whatever the terrain, our feet can learn to dance. Whatever stones life may sling, we can moan or we can sing. Grateful, grateful, truly grateful I am. Grateful, grateful, truly blessed and duly grateful.
Thank you, Jesse. Let's once again go to the Lord in prayer this morning as we prepare to encounter His Word this day. Merciful God, Creator of all that is seen and unseen, our delight is in Your Word, and we have a deep sense of Your presence this day, especially when we allow it to fill our lives both night and day. For the times when we listen to the advice of those who rebel against You, Father, Lord, have mercy on us. For those times when we can be found with those who scorn, Christ, have mercy. For those times in our lives when we do not bear the fruits of Your abundance, Christ, have mercy on us. Father, we long to experience Your blessings like a tree that is planted beside a never-failing stream. Merciful God, renew us by Your nurture and blessings so that we may prosper in Your ways. Watch over us this day and every day. And just like the song said, so we can be grateful. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Again, thank you for joining us for worship this beautiful Sunday morning. Summertime brings images of sunshine and tropical settings and crashing ocean waves and fun time spent with family and friends. Well, this is what goes through my mind, and I hope it goes through your minds as well. And so this summer, I thought I would transport the entire congregation, everybody that is gathered here in the sanctuary, everybody that is watching on Facebook Live today, everybody, I'm going to transport you to the land of the palms. Amen? Anybody ready to go? Yeah, I see lots of hands going up. That's not what I was expecting today. Amen. Wait a minute. Sorry. I had a misprint in my sermon manuscript this morning. And then rather than magically transporting everyone to a summer in the palms, I will instead be guiding you through a journey called A Summer in the Psalms. I think that's where we'll go this summer. Maybe you can dream about the sunshine, dream about the palm trees as we read the Psalms. This summer, we're going to read some of the Psalms in the Old Testament. And by looking at these books during the months of June, July, and August, I hope you'll see the blessings that God has promised us. Blessings beyond just spending a weekday in the sun beside the crashing waves. Maybe if you miss a Sunday because you're by the ocean, by the crashing waves, you'll tune in on Facebook Live and listen to A Summer in the Psalms. Now, some of you might already be checking out on me. I know that. Some of you might be already saying, wondering, what in the world am I going to get out of this series this summer? Besides, isn't Psalms just an old book of poetry? And good gracious, we don't like poetry. Or some might be saying, isn't the Psalms just an old hymn book that they used to sing thousands of years ago? How in the world does this book help me with my daily life? I need something much more practical. I want you to instead say to yourself this summer and think of this book, the book of the Psalms, as a book of practical poetry, a book of modern day hymns. It is a book for artists and engineers. It is a book for musicians and mathematicians. It is a book for creative thinkers, not like me, but concrete thinkers. It's a book for everyone because in its pages, it pours out wisdom that has been guiding Christian believers for thousands of years. So why should we stop looking at it now? Let's start looking at it instead. This week, our sermon will come from Psalm chapter 1. It is kind of the intro to the entire book. And I'll go ahead and tell you, next week I'm going to preach on Father's Day, and it's not going to come from Psalms. But in 2 weeks, I'm going to talk a little bit background about the book of Psalms itself. But today, I thought, let's just dive in. I've already got you in a tropical mindset. I've already got you sitting beside a pool or the beach somewhere. So let's dive in to Psalm 1 this morning. Many theologians often see Psalm 1 as an introduction to the entire book. 150 Psalms all written together, all tempted to guide us in what we're called to do. So what better place to start our summer in the Psalms than with the opening hymn? So turn in your Bibles, if you have it, to Psalm 1, the very first psalm. The easiest way to find Psalms, this is the way I was taught in RAs when I was a kid. Close your Bible, open it up to the middle, and most of the time you're going to hit Psalms. That's how you find Psalms. It is a long book. It is a large book. There's lots of books there, but it's almost practically right in the middle of most Bibles. So Psalm 1, and it'll be on the screen behind me this morning, says this. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and in whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Psalm 1 can be thought of as a song with three stanzas and a coda. Think about it for a second. Think about your favorite song. All those songs that we love to sing when it hits, comes on the radio, all of a sudden we don't need to listen to the words on the radio. We start belting it out in our beautiful voices, right? You all know what song that is. We all have that song. We all probably all have multiple songs. It may be a country song. It may be an old western. It may be a gospel song. It might be a rock and roll song. Yes, that's okay. You can listen to rock and roll and be a Christian too. I listen to rock and roll music all the time. But we all know what psalm it is. We all know what that song is. And that's what Psalm 1 is. It is a song with three stanzas that as you sing it, you just think, wow, it's just got something about it. It's got an edge. And then comes the coda, the very, very end. The first stanza, verses 1 and 2, is going to teach us about the posture of the pilgrim, a follower of God. How are we supposed to approach God? What is the posture of someone who calls themselves a pilgrim of God? The second stanza deals with promises to be planted for that person who is a pilgrim. And that's found in verse 3. The third stanza is all about the warnings to the wicked. You know, when the music starts getting low and grumbly, the bass starts kicking in, and you start dipping your voice, that's what stanza 3 is about, talking about the wicked. And finally, we get to the coda. The last verse, verse 6, basically the cherry on top. And it turns from talking all about us as believers to talking about God, the very character of our Creator. So let's look at the stanzas this morning. The first stanza, the posture of the pilgrim, found in verses 1 and 2. The first stanza focuses on the posture and desired posture of a pilgrim. Now, when I say pilgrim, what is the first thing that pops in your mind? Come on, we all know what it is, right? The Mayflower, right? We think about that first Mayflower experience, that first Thanksgiving meal in the new world, or ourselves dressed up as elementary school kids with those corny black hats. We all made them. We all made them. Amen. Raise your hand if you made those awful pilgrim hats. That's what we think about when we think about pilgrims. However, a pilgrim is essentially someone who is on a journey, usually for religious purposes. And so the psalmist is going to give us some guidance for how to be blessed on this journey as a pilgrim that we are on, this pilgrimage of life that we walk daily. In the Hebrew, which is what this the Old Testament book of Psalms was originally written in, the word here where it says blessed is not a singular word. In the English, we see blessed, but we think one blessed. But in the Hebrew, really, the Hebrew actually says this is a plural word. So when you see blessed in Psalm 1, really it means blessing on top of blessings. Blessings on top of blessings. More blessings and more blessings and more blessings. Now, raise your hand if you want to live a life that is full of blessings on top of blessings. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Okay, because we don't want the opposite, right? We want blessing on top of blessings. So who receives these blessings? Who is blessed? It's someone with good posture. Did you ever have someone in your life tell you you need to sit up straight with your back? You know, maybe it was your grandparent. Maybe it was your teacher. Man, it used to drive me crazy because I always like to hunch. My chiropractor, I see a chiropractor on a regular basis, tells me I need to sit up straight even now. It drives me crazy. But someone with good posture is the person who receives blessings upon blessings upon blessings. And I'm not talking about sitting up straight. First, a person with good posture is a person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or ungodly. Think of walking as how we live. Think about if someone said to you, how is your walk with the Lord right now? Now, we would know what they meant when they asked us that question. We would know what they were getting at. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1 that we are to walk in the manner worthy of the calling to which we've been called. Who extended that invitation? Jesus Christ. The invitation Jesus has given us is to simply follow him. That's why we're pilgrims. That's why we're pilgrimages. We're on a pilgrimage. It's because Jesus invited us to follow him. So, we have a choice. We can either walk in the wise and become wise, or we can walk in the counsel of the wicked or ungodly. Verse 1 of Psalm 1 makes us ask that question. And the rest of the book of Psalms will make us ask lots of questions, but it all starts with this question. Who do you listen to? Who do you listen to? Who are you influenced by? Who do you get advice from? Now, does this mean that we should only go see Christian doctors? Does this mean we should only go see Christian financial planners? Does this mean we should only go see Christian real estate agents? Does this mean we should only enroll our kids in Christian schools and only consider Christian colleges? No, that's not what this is saying. However, we must realize that the foundation of our worldview should be our relationship with Jesus, because that's the pilgrimage that we're on, to follow him. There is not an area of our lives that the Lordship of Jesus will not profoundly influence. There should not be. He influences it all. The person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked will be blessed. But that's just one posture. Who else receives blessings upon blessings? It's a person who does not stand in the way of sinners. And yes, you heard me say that right, because you might be thinking, that doesn't sound right. Who does not stand in the way of sinners. That sounds opposite of what it should say. Shouldn't we stand in the way of sinners? Isn't that our job as Christians, to stand in the way of sinners? But this is where the translation from Hebrew to English gets lost in translation. Because oftentimes we get lost in translation. What the Hebrew to English is really saying here is this. To stand in the way of really means to stand up for or to stand with. So you're not standing in opposition to, you're standing on the side of, you're standing with sinners. So our job is to not stand in the way of sinners. Instead, we're going to stand up against sinners. If walking with Christ is about how we live, then standing is about how we fight. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 6, therefore take up the whole armor of God. And we all remember this from Sunday school as a child. Take up that whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all of it, to stand firm. Again, if someone were to say to you, what do you stand for? You would understand exactly what they're talking about. They're saying, what do you believe in? What do you fight for? What do you fight against? The psalmist says we are blessed if we don't stand in the way or stand with sinners. Standing in the way of sinners means lining yourself up in opposition to God's rule and plan for our lives. There are blessings on top of blessings for the one who does not stand with sinners. Now, I want to be careful here, because I think this is a place where some misunderstanding can take place. And also, this is a place where the church has gotten some things wrong. Are we supposed to reject sinful people? And the answer is no. And if you disagree with me, just open your Bible to any of the four Gospels and read what Jesus did. We're not called to reject people because we ourselves are sinners. And if sinners are rejected, guess what? None of us would be able to walk through this door on Sunday morning. Instead, we reject the sinful practices, not sinful people. So who else receives blessings? It's a person who does not sit in the seat of mockers or scoffers. So the final posture mentioned is sitting. If walking is about living, if standing is about how we fight, then think of sitting as being about where we rest, where we reside. What is a mocker or a scoffer? A scoffer is one who mocks or tears down instead of building up. Cynical, sarcastic. So to sit in the seat of mockers means that you are more comfortable with cynicism and sarcasm. Now let me stop there. I am a very sarcastic person. If you ever get in a conversation with me, sarcasm is going to drip from the words that I say. I'm not saying sarcasm is bad. However, what I am saying is to sit with someone who lives in cynicism and who does not build others up, that is where we do not want to sit. Because it is our job to sit with people who build each other up. If you don't believe me, turn to the Gospels. Read anything Jesus did. That's where he sat, and that's who he was. So what's the alternative? Verse 2 says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. The alternative is following God. The alternative to sitting with mockers is simply following God. It is unnatural to violate the law of God. Now, if you don't agree with me, think about the last time you were driving down the road, exceeding the speed limit by 5 miles an hour. We've all been there. 10 miles an hour, let's face it, we've all been there. 15 miles an hour, we may not have been there, but maybe you've been there before, and then all of a sudden you see that police car. What do you do? Do you go to 20 over? You go to 25 over? If you've ever ridden with Gabe, you know what I'm talking about. As soon as we see that police car, what do? We slam on brakes. We slow down. We start saying that little prayer, please, Lord, I'll never do it again. I'll never speed again. We don't maintain the speed. We don't like to violate the law. Of course not. We slow down. We slam on the brakes immediately. We know what is right, and we know what is wrong. This is how God created us. He created us for us knowing what is right and wrong. However, the world has distorted our understanding of what is right and wrong. Sin has corrupted our desire so that delighting in him now feels a little odd. It feels a little uncomfortable. It feels a little unnatural. Now, for those who may have been taking notes today, you may have noticed that all the references that I paired Psalm 1 with came from the New Testament letter, the book of Ephesians. There is a reason for that. It was a pastor by the name of Watchman Nee. He was a pastor in the Chinese Christian church back in the early 1900s. He was born in 1903, was converted in Christianity at the age of 17, and within 2 years began holding worship gatherings that would grow into the local church movement that spread to millions of Chinese Christians in the country of China. Now, when the Communist Revolution swept through China in 1949, Watchman Nee was sent to prison because of his beliefs and his leadership, and he later died in a Chinese labor camp in 1972. However, during his ministry, Watchman Nee wrote a small commentary on the book of Ephesians, which is titled Sit, Walk, and Stand. And here's the book. I was introduced to this book while I was in divinity school at Campbell. And as I was writing this sermon, I went to look for this book and I could not find it. I must have lent it out. I lent out a lot of my books and I must have lent it out. And so I had to put my hands on it again just to review it. You can get it at Amazon. It'll get to you. If you're Amazon Prime, it'll get to you the next day. It's a very inexpensive book, and I commend it to you. I've always commend writings to you, but I would encourage you to purchase this book. It's 75 pages long. You can read it in a weekend. You can read it while you sit by the beach or by the pool whenever you go on vacation. But this is what he writes in his commentary. The Christian life consists of sitting with Christ, walking by him, and standing in him. We begin our spiritual life by resting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus. That rest is the source of our strength for a consistent and unfaltering walk in the world. And at the end of a grueling warfare with the hosts of darkness, we are found standing with him at last in triumphant possession of the field. Now, you might have noticed that Nee's order, sit, walk, stand, is not the same order that you find in Psalm chapter 1. You see, in Psalm 1, the ungodly walk, then stand, and then sit. But for Watchman Nee, he saw in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, that the Christian begins by sitting, resting in the finished work of Christ. Once we are seated with Christ, then we can begin our walk with Christ. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him." And if only through Jesus walking with him, that we then know what to stand for. Otherwise, we stand for the wrong things and we wind up falling for anything. And that leads us into the rest of Psalm 1. Second stanza, verse 3. Once a pilgrim or believer achieves the right posture, the Lord makes promises to the one who is now planted in him. So what are these three promises that God promises to that pilgrim? The first promise is permanence. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water. Even though a tree does not live forever, it is pretty much the closest thing on earth to something being permanent. I've heard that in Israel, there is an olive tree that grows in the Garden of Gethsemane that is over 2,000 years old. It would have been there when Jesus was praying in the garden. Who knows if that's the tree that Jesus gathered underneath as he poured out his prayer. A person who delights in the law of the Lord is like that tree. He promises us permanence. But second, he promises us productivity. That tree yields its fruit in season. That is productivity that trusts in God's timing. Ecclesiastes 3 says, there is a season for everything. Well, guess who knows what the seasons are? God does. We don't know the seasons. Yes, we know what winter, spring, summer, and fall is, but if you live in North Carolina, you have no idea when any of those seasons start or when any of those end. Amen? But God does. And He will produce in you the fruit that is needed in the right time. That's the second promise, productivity. The third promise is prosperity. Ooh, and I said that word. And do not misunderstand me here. The word prosperity has been so corrupted by the false prosperity narrative in the church that many are afraid to even talk about what the Bible teaches on the prosperity of the believer. The Bible teaches that those who are rooted and established in His Word will prosper in all that they do. And to prosper does not necessarily mean your bank account. And I often don't do this, but if you ever hear a preacher say that if you are faithful, that your bank account will grow, you need to be listening to somebody else. We will prosper in all that we do, means we'll grow in Christ. This is echoed in Deuteronomy 29:9 and 1 Chronicles 22:13. And I believe this means that things generally have a way of working out for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Now, if that sounds too naive to you, then realize I did not make it up. It's a promise in God's Word. Just read it. And so those are the promises in stanza two. And so as we're singing that song on the radio, as we're driving down the road, we just finished the second stanza, and we are singing great. Then comes the third stanza. Here comes the moaning and the groaning. The tears are coming. And these are the warnings for the wicked in verses 4 and 5. Just as there are promises for the planted, there are warnings for the wicked in this third stanza. And the first warning is instability in this world. We must realize that the wind is going to blow against both the wicked and the righteous. The rain will fall on both the just and the unjust. The questions we have to ask ourselves is, when the testing time comes, will the chaff be blown away or will we be blown away? The wicked will be blown away when the wind comes because they have no stability in this world because they're rooted in the wrong thing. Believers will not be blown away. And that's why I titled the sermon what I did today. And I encourage you to spend some time on this point. If you believe, you will not be blown away no matter what wind comes. Don't get blown away by this world. The second warning in stanza 3 is insecurity for the next world. According to 2 Corinthians 5:10, we will all stand before God one day. So what are you basing your security on that position? Is it on God or is it on the world? And the funny thing is, it's your choice. Enough for the third stanza. We're done with the cry. And now we get to the coda, where everything ends in the positive. Smile starts going, the beat starts picking up, and we're just like, oh yeah, I know where this song's going. I know where it's ending. We start bobbing our heads. And that's the coda, the care of our Creator. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Each of us has a choice to make. Each one of us. Are we going to sit, stand, and walk with God? Or are we going to walk, stand, and sit with the wicked, the sinners, and the mockers. The choice seems simple, but the question is, do our actions and our words reflect that simple decision? You see, the Lord knows intimately each one of us. Are we ready to know Him intimately? Are you ready for blessings upon blessings? The choice is yours. And the song has come to an end. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for a book of wisdom that has imparted knowledge and your word and your love and your passion for your people for thousands of years. May it continue to do so through the summer as we dive into the book of the Psalms. And Father, what a powerful way to begin with Psalm 1. A psalm that takes us from the highs and the lows back to your presence, which is where you desire us to be. Father, may we sit, walk, and stand with you. May we choose to do that daily, not just on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, but every other minute on the clock. Father, we just give you this day, and we give you this song. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we come to our time of closing and singing our closing hymn, maybe something that I mentioned today spoke to you. Maybe for the first time you realize what it means to sit, walk, and stand with Christ. I'll be down front to talk with you if you want to come down and talk about what it means to know Christ intimately. Or maybe you're looking for a church family that likes to bow their head in music, that likes to sing, and likes to joyfully follow Him in the way we walk with the Lord. Maybe First Baptist Beulah is that home for you. Let me talk to you about what it means to be a part of this family. Or maybe just today, the song is not getting through, or the song just got through again. The altar's open. Maybe Christ is speaking to you this day. Whatever your decision is, make it today. Don't put it off. Let's stand and sing. As you leave today, you turn that radio on. When that song comes on the radio, that it all makes us smile. Think about Psalm 1. Think about the message that is there. And sing it as you go, daily, every day, because we are pilgrims on this journey together. Go.